Today we continue as we study the letter written by Apostle Paul to his mentee, Timothy. 1 Timothy 5 is what we will be considering this morning. And the focus is on maintenance. We know in this country it is very hard to do maintenance. We do service our cars, and therefore we plan towards it. Otherwise, we will get to a point that the car will disappoint us if we do not do the needful. So there is a planned maintenance which takes our effort. We plan towards it. And then we have the repairs maintenance, which is forced on us because the asset has broken down or maybe is faulty, not working right. A planned maintenance, which is preventive, is not as costly as the repairs maintenance. I remember I was given an earbud, and due to my carelessness, I left it in a pocket. It went into the washing machine. It came out. Only one side of it was working. And I called Samsung. This is what has happened. I was even thinking maybe it would be during the warranty period. They said, sorry, it is out of warranty. Okay, how much will it cost me to repair this? Then they give me a bill of about £80 when I can get a new one for 100. So at the end of the day, we don't really care much. Instead of repair, we buy a new one. But even the new asset we buy must be maintained. So this morning, I want to ask as a church, what is our most valuable asset, most prized asset? Is it the church building? Yes, it's valuable. But we've seen where the church, the building doesn't have members to come in, and they've turned it into something else. Is it our man's? Yes, it's valuable. But also we find churches without pastors, and so the man's is empty. Is it our bank balance? Yes, that is also very important. But as a church, what is the most prized asset that we have? And that is our relationship. The church is not the building. It's people in it. The church is made up of individual families, individual people, knitted together. And Jesus is the fulcrum, the center. And therefore, we have relationships with one another. The letter written by Apostle Paul to Timothy has to do with this relationship that we have. It needs to be well oiled, well maintained. And why? Why do we need to maintain our relationship in church? Yes, we are all children of God, but why do we need a relationship? I think we can find answers from the scriptures. Let us first of all look at what King David says in Psalm 133. Psalm 133. It says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Ammon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Well-knitted relationship in the church brings unity. And you know, Jesus said, we are two or three people are gathered. I am there. I am there with you. And just listen to what Deuteronomy 32:30 says. Deuteronomy 32:30. It says, how could one man chase 1,000 or two put 10,000 to flight, unless their rock had sold them, unless the Lord had given them up? That is the power of unity. One chase 1,000, two, 10,000. That's geometric progression. And in this church, we are more than two, we are more than three, we are more than 50, we are more than 100. So you can imagine what God can do with us when we are united in love. The devil knew this very well, that he will be in serious trouble. And what does he do? He fights the relationship. The relationship that should be sacrosanct becomes fractious. And the unity is no longer there. So this morning, we want to look at the three types of relationships which Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy to manage very well in the church. The first is maintaining family relationships. 1 Timothy 5:1 to 2. And it reads, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. That is the advice. We treat those, our older men, as if they were our fathers. Older women, as if she was your mother. Younger men, as your brothers. Younger women, as your sisters. With absolute purity. Purity is one of the characteristics of godliness, which Pastor John preached on last week. Purity means there is no hidden agenda. There is no pollution. You approach the matter with absolute honesty. That is how we have been encouraged to treat one another. It therefore means what we are going to say, our actions, our inactions, or our silence, does it glorify God? what we want to say out to another sister, will it glorify God? You know, Jesus said to us, do unto others what you want them to do unto you. Therefore, when we stand to say something, just think about it. If that thing were to be said to me, will it make me feel good or otherwise? What about your silence when you ought to speak? Think about it. If this were to be done unto me, how would I feel? It's not about it is right. But there are some other things we've got to consider when we deal with ourselves. Brothers and sisters, the Bible knows that there will be offense. Things will be said that ought not to have been said. There could be silence when we ought to talk. Our actions may not be appropriate. And our inactions when we're supposed to act may not be the best. And as a result, we take offense. There will be definitely offense. But remember what we were told in Matthew 5:23-24. Therefore, if thou bring a gift to the altar, and then remember that thy brother hath sinned against thee, leave it there. First of all, get the reconciliation and then come back to offer thy gift. Are you here in this church this morning? And somebody, by what he has said or she has said, by his action or by her action, by her silence or his silence or inaction, has offended you. Please, let it go. Let us forgive. Let it go. Because if we do not allow it to go, it will affect our functionality as a church. It will affect even our prayers. Let it go. Let it go. We need that unity. Remember Deuteronomy 32:30 that I've read. One, we chase 1,000, and two, we put 10,000 to flight. But if there is a single offense, that could delay our prayers from being answered. Let it go. I want us to look around. Let's look around. Look around the church. Just look around. Look at the person. Look forward, backwards. Yes. Is there anyone that has said something to you which you are not happy with? Let it go. I perceive the Lord is just asking me. Let's bow down our heads. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow down our heads. Just talk to God. Let it go. Father, Lord, we just commit and surrender these issues into your hands. give us the grace to let it go. Give us the grace to forgive. And Father, bring us to be united in you. In Jesus' name, amen. The second part of the relationship which Paul wrote to Timothy that needs to be maintained, though in the scriptures it focuses on the widows, I have extended it. And this is our relationship, not only with the widows, but I will say with the vulnerable ones, with the weaker ones in our midst. Those who are struggling. Apostle Paul mentioned that that area of relationship needs to be looked into. If we read Acts of the Apostles, deacons were specifically elected to deal with this category of people. And in our church, we are not all the same. We have those who are struggling. We have those who are weak. We have the vulnerable ones. And Apostle Paul is encouraging us that we should not just leave these ones in limbo. We need to look after them. We need to support them. I know we do it in this church. I can testify to that. I knew very well during the pandemic, those who were unable to go out to do their shopping, people volunteered. Well done. Thank you. But we still need to do more. We need to look after one another. It doesn't have to be you only noticing that your friend is not in the church. What about others? It's not something we should leave into the hands of the pastors or something we should leave into the hands of the deacons. We are our brother's keepers. And this is what Apostle Paul was emphasizing to everybody. If our relationship must be well oiled, we need to look after that segment of the church. We also need to look at how can we be of support to another. We need to break the power of division, the power that divides us. That shouldn't be. In fact, Acts chapter 2, the Bible records it there. Acts chapter 2 in verse 44. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. No one was lacking. They had everything in common. What is it that you have that God has not given you? Your knowledge? The scripture tells me that it is God that giveth power to make wealth. And part of that wealth is your knowledge. It's your wisdom. You can make use of it. Thank you for the CMA being led by Sister Alice in here. And for all those who have been helping, that's another area. We should not just leave it into their hands. or say, anyway, let them do it. Now, we are all in it together. The third part of relationship, which Apostle Paul encourages Timothy to maintain, is in again 17 to 20. And I will call that maintaining elder relationships. And the Bible reads, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Then that sin rebuke before all, that others may also fear. Pastors are in this category. The Bible says, give them double honor. Respect them. Pray for them. Support them. As I was preparing for this message, I saw something on Facebook, which I think, yes, it can be shared. It says, the pastor is not an ambulance that you call when you are in distress or you are in emergency only. You can also invite the pastor for a lunch in your house. Yes, they are human beings too. When they do something, let us encourage them. Let us appreciate them. Remember, it is God who has chosen these ones to lead us. And the Bible also speaks about an elder who does not do well. It says, get it investigated. Investigate it. But it says rebuke. But he didn't say crucify. The essence of the rebuke is to bring the person to reflect on his or her action and then repent. So which means whatsoever thing we do, even when they have not done the right thing, it has to be done with love. So you will see everything in this 1 Timothy chapter 5 is about the love of God being shared between God's people. The first church in Acts Timothy, they didn't make any advertisement. But when others see what was happening in their midst, what happened? They started to join. They started to join. And finally, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 5:21, it says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. What is good for the goose is also good for the gander. There should be no discrimination. Because before God, there is no white, there is no black, there is no green, there is no yellow. We are all one. And therefore, we need to treat one another equally. No preferential treatment. So it means in this church, as Apostle Paul has encouraged us. Whatever we want to do, think first. Does it glorify God? As a family, is my relationship right? For the poor ones and for the vulnerable ones, the weaker ones, do we love them? For the elders, for the pastors, do we respect them? Do we honor them? And do we treat one another fairly? Remember, everyone is going to give an account before God. If we give your account before God, what will you say? I started by talking about maintenance. It is better to maintain the relationship in the church, and therefore it takes efforts to maintain it. And once we are backed by God, you can imagine the wonders, the miracles God will do in our midst. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? We are not sure. Do you believe this? Ah, that's still not. We are more than 50. Do we believe this?
Yes.
Now I'm going to ask us to do something. Get a partner. We want to pray for each other. Don't choose your wife. Don't choose your husband. You can choose somebody beside you. You are free. If you are sitting alone, move to somebody. Ask for their name. And just say, what do you want me to pray on? I'm going to give you time. Let's get a partner quickly and pray for one another. Get a partner. You are free to move out of your seat. Ask for their name, please. Let's stand. Move out of your seat. Get a partner. Ask for their name. What do you want me to pray for you all? And pray. Our Lord and our God, we want to thank you for loving us. And therefore we pray, O Lord, that you will continue to bind us together in your love. That we will continue to care, to comfort, to support, and to pray for one another. The Lord, even when the devil wants to come to destroy our relationship, Father, we pray that you will give us the grace to be able to stand against him. And Lord, we pray that as your ambassador here on earth, we will be godly in everything we do, in everything we say, and people will see Christ in us. Thank you, Almighty God, for in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
May the Lord bless us and keep us. May he make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord's tongue lift up his countenance upon us and give us his peace. And may the grace of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us, be in us, rest with us now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you.